past Thursday, we celebrated our patronal feast, the Feast of St. Jonah. Today, we celebrate the memory of the fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council and also the Optina elders. And there's a connection between the Optina elders and St. Jonah because St. Jonah was a monk of the Optina Monastery. He was a monk at the time when there were still four of the officially glorified saints of Optina still in residence in the monastery. The Optina Monastery was opened in the 17th century. Exactly when is not recorded, but around that time. And it fell into disrepair because of the policies of Peter the Great and Catherine the Great. But the monastery was restored by Metropolitan Platon in 1790. And so in the 19th century, it flourished. It became a great spiritual center of Russia, and it's something that authors from the 19th century talk about, even those that were not particularly devout Orthodox Christians. For example, Leo Tolstoy went there, and of course he died in separation from the church. He basically had fairly Protestant views of Christianity and somewhat liberal views. But he went there to get advice from the elders, and as I recall reading, he was somewhat troubled when he went there. He was torn as to what he would do, but unfortunately it didn't have the effect of bringing him back into the church. But also Dostoevsky visited the Optina Monastery, and if you've read the Brothers Karamazov, the character in that book, the Elder Zosima, is based on St. Ambrose of Optina as well as St. Tikhon of Zadansk. He sort of merged what he knew about those two saints together into that one character in the book. So when you read that book, it's an amazing book, by the way. I'd recommend if you haven't read it that you do read it, because Dostoevsky's writings are spiritually edifying books, and they're very instructive. But when you read about Zosima in this book, even though it's a fictional character, you find it very edifying. Well, that's not by accident, because it's based on real saints, real people. St. Ambrose of Optina also founded a convent nearby, the Shermerdino Monastery, or convent, and that convent has a very interesting story that relates to the new martyrs, the confessors of Russia, which is worthy of a sermon all unto itself, so I won't go into great detail, but just sort of summarize it, but maybe next feast of the new martyrs of Russia I'll go into more detail. But these nuns who were instructed by the Optina elders and shared their spiritual strength, they were, when the communists came to that convent, they shot their spiritual father, who before he was martyred, had put them under obedience to not cooperate with the Soviets. And so when he was shot, they said, well, no one can release us from this obedience now. And so they absolutely refused to lift the slightest finger in cooperation with the Soviets. And they were sent to the Solovki Monastery, where Ivan Andreev, who's an author, he came into contact with them and he wrote about them, because these nuns were put to torture, they were starved, they were put through all kinds of pressure to cooperate. But Ivan Andreev spoke with one of the guards, and they said the problem with these nuns is they're not like the normal troublemakers that we're used to dealing with that fight and, then we can beat them and that sort of thing. But these nuns would not resist. They would be humble. They wouldn't say a word, but they simply endured. And so finally they were put to moved to a labor camp. And later, the same author came into contact with an American prisoner who was in this prison camp. And he described what he observed there, where these nuns were told that they had to work in this brickyard. They refused to do it. And this was I think it was in Siberia, but it was definitely a cold area. And so they made them stand on a hill without any coats through the whole work day. But they expected to find them frostbitten. They expected them to break before the day was out, as a matter of fact, but it didn't happen. And at the end of the day, there was no sign of frostbite. So the next day they put them out again, and the day after that they even took their scarves off their heads. And by the third day, even prison guards were finding excuses to come by that part of the camp so that they could catch a fleeting glimpse of these nuns who everyone was looking at, and people who were prisoners were praying as they were looking up at these nuns. and seen their faith, seen a miracle right before their eyes. And finally, the Soviets were even their hearts were softened, and they decided, you know what, this is causing us too much trouble. They're inspiring the prisoners rather than having the opposite effect. So basically, they kept them under guard, but they allowed them to basically do their own thing. They never lifted a finger to do anything for the Soviets, but they prepared their own food, they made their own clothes, and they had their own life of prayer. And as Ivan Andreyev observed, they were the freest people in the Soviet Union. And this is the spiritual wealth of Russia that emanates from this monastery and from these elders. Archbishop Andreyev Novodevichevo, who was one of our own bishops, who reposed in New York at the convent that we have there, was a disciple of one of the last of the elders, St. Nectarius. St. Nectarius was a confessor. He was not shot or executed by the communists, but he suffered, as did St. Anatoly the Younger and St. Nikon. St. Isaac the Younger was actually executed by the Soviets, so he's a new martyr in Russia. But Archbishop Andrei, being a disciple of St. Nectarius, was a very holy man. And just to give you an example of a personal story, those of you that have been in Houston a while may remember Rusta Karnauk and his father, Pavel Pavlovich Karnauk, who was a very cantankerous old guy at St. Vladimir, a sweet man in his own way, if you get past the rough exterior. But Rustik told me that him and his father went to see Archbishop Andrei in Novodevichevo, and they didn't come announced. And they went to his cell, and his father knocked on the door, and Archbishop Andrei, from behind the closed door, said, "Is that you, Pavel Pavlovich?" And they didn't tell me everything else that Archbishop Andrei had to say to them, but they went away very edified and amazed that they had encountered a living saint. And that's one of the things that we should take away from this feast of the Optin Elders. These are saints that are recent, saints that people that we know had direct contact with. It's still a not totally distant memory. And what this tells us is that the miracles and the spiritual gifts that we read about in the scriptures or in the lives of the saints from the distant past are not just something that happened way back when, but this is something that is a living reality in the church. We have prophets, we have healers, we have wonder workers in the church to this day. And the only reason that we don't see more of it is because of our lack of faith and our lack of zeal. But it's not because the possibility is not there. Holiness is attainable, and it's just a matter of whether we really want to do it or not. I'll close with the prayer of the Optin Elders, and I'll email this to the St. Jonah list so that you can get the text. "Grant unto me, O Lord, that with peace of mind I may face all that this new day is to bring. Grant unto me to dedicate myself completely to thy holy will. For every hour of the day, instruct and support me in all things. Whatsoever tidings I may receive during the day, do thou teach me to accept tranquilly, in the firm conviction that all eventualities fulfill thy holy will. Govern thou my thoughts and feelings in all I do and say. When things unforeseen occur, let me not forget that all cometh down from thee. Teach me to behave sincerely and rationally towards every member of my family, that I may bring confusion and sorrow to none. Bestow upon me, my Lord, strength to endure the fatigue of the day and to bear my part in all its passing events. Guide thou my will and teach me to pray, to believe, to hope, to suffer, to forgive, and to love. Amen."